From the Gospel according to Luke. There were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. Well, what do we make of it that the very first people to learn of the birth of Christ were ordinary lower class shepherds looking after their flock on a hillside field after dark? This past October, just over 2 months ago, a group of us from St. George's visited the site where it is said to have happened. There, we pilgrims to the Holy Land stood at the traditional location where the angel of the Lord appeared to the shepherds. We read this story again and meditated on what had happened and why. The first great historian of the church, Eusebius, writing in the 200s, mentions that the local residents early on had marked the spot, in his words, 1,000 paces from Bethlehem, southeast. The church constructed the first building on the site in the 400s AD, and our pilgrimage visited the current church on the site, a Franciscan chapel built in the 20th century by the famous Christian architect Antonio Barluzzi. The chapel of the Shepherd's Field, it's rounded in shape and meant to mimic a nomadic tent, the customary abode for shepherds. And inside the relatively small space are several wall paintings of the Nativity and of the shepherds. One of those paintings especially caught my attention. It depicts three shepherds reacting to the sudden and dramatic appearance of the angel of the Lord hovering above them. There is a shepherd in the foreground on his knees, two shepherd colleagues behind him, and a flock of sheep to his right. And I was interested in seeing how the artist portrayed this particular shepherd, because he has one hand in a posture of protection like this, but the other hand is open in a posture of praise. And it seems contradictory. The arresting painting begs the question, well, what is it? What is the response to how our God enters into human life? Is it protection or is it praise? Hand up, fending it off, too much to bear, maybe too much to believe, or an open hand outstretched of praying welcome? This painting, the shepherd's experience, this night for all of us, presents once more the principal paradox of our faith. That the eternal, omnipotent majesty of God is known through the messy matter of human birth. That the creator of the cosmos comes born to a socially insignificant couple living in first century Palestine. That the living spirit of heaven itself is fused with a particular human life born of a woman, and later to die a brutish death. The principal paradox of our faith. Is it too much to believe? We may want to hide behind our left hand, waving it off. But if we too believe in angels and what this particular angel says tonight, what we hear, what we see, what we believe in all of this is not a contradiction. Not a contradiction of realities, but rather a reconciliation. For Jesus' birth pulls us into the point of intersection between heaven and earth. between God and humanity. And we call this place glory. Mary and Joseph are in it. The shepherds are in it. And we want to be in it too, I think. And the glory of the Lord shone round about them. But there is this also. And they were sore afraid. I have recently, just in the past few days, in fact, been reading from the memoir of Dorothy Day, 20th century Christian author, journalist, spirited champion of social justice. Her autobiography, written toward the end of her life, is called The Long Loneliness. She was born in Brooklyn at the end of the 19th century. Day was the middle of five children. Her father was a newspaper man, and in her childhood, the family moved to Oakland, California, and later to Chicago. Early on in her life, Day recounts that she, like so many of us today, was brought up in a nominally Christian household. She was not much taken to church, yet she always suspected there was a God out there. She writes, "All my life I was haunted by God. How much did I hear of religion as a child? Very little. And yet my heart leaped when I heard the name of God. I do believe every soul has a tendency toward God." A lonely child, Day also had her doubts and her fears, because she also writes this, "I believed, but I did not know what I believed. At the same time, I began to be afraid of God. I thought of God as a tremendous force, a frightening, impersonal God, a voice, a hand stretched out to seize me and not in love." And then, as a 10-year-old, 1906, Day with her family was living in Oakland, and the great San Francisco earthquake struck. It happened early in the morning. And she writes that her father raced immediately to get her three brothers and get them out of the house. And her mother hurriedly snatched her sister and ran out of the house. And Dorothy was left alone in the house as her big brass bed rocked and swayed back and forth across her room for 2 whole minutes as the earthquake that started with a deep rumbling convulsed the earth. And I believe the awful memory of that experience affected Dorothy Day for the rest of her life. God haunted indeed. Left alone as the world is shaken off of its foundations, and then left alone to make sense of the carnage that she saw afterward. And yet, Dorothy Day saw something else too, at the same time. She writes of her observation of the goodness of so many Christians offering charity in the aftermath of that terrible tragedy. And that too, what she saw then affected her for the rest of her life. We can all relate to this, I trust. We all want protection against fearsome and mysterious powers far greater than ourselves. And at the same time, we want prayerful openness to goodness, the love of God seen here on earth. Putting those things together, not as contradictions, always in tension, but now reconciled. And writes Dorothy Day, "I wanted, though I did not know it then, a synthesis. I wanted life, and I wanted abundant life, and I wanted it for others too." So here we are tonight, before the announcement yet again of our Savior's birth. And I wonder if we would do well to kneel with that shepherd in the painting. Yes, maybe with our left hand acknowledging our relative smallness in the grand scheme of things, our powerlessness in the face of life's never-relenting earthquakes that shake us out of any complacency, that we can construct lives immune to sin and sorrow, immune to brokenness and death. And acknowledging our fearfulness, and I think we all carry some fearfulness, of being judged. Of being judged before God for living lives that are smaller and narrower than God intends. That is reality. But that is not the final reality. Not by a mile. For we would do well to kneel with the shepherd in the painting, also in opening our right hand to praise and to welcome the coming of God revealed, not as a fearsome power descending from heaven as if preparing to open up the earth and swallow us in judgment, but coming as this vulnerable infant child. What in the world could be more ordinary and non-threatening than that? God's coming actually is an exaltation of our humanity rather than a judgment of it. Indeed, the judgment will come upon this baby and not upon us. And that is the gospel. So why is the announcement of the birth of Jesus made first to these shepherds just outside of Bethlehem? They are low on the social rung. And I think we're meant to get that these are just ordinary people, not spiritual heroes or theological experts or powerful people at all. Surely we can get this. Surely we can relate to them. This is an announcement that is for all and for all time. We all know what it is to feel as if we live these kind of semi-nomadic lives, the ground under our feet so often shifting. Just when we thought we had the world licked. But no. But our Lord comes. He comes in a particular way as the infant Jesus. And the consequence of his coming like this is that our fears about life, our fears about God, or maybe our fears about following God too religiously, may be overcome by openness. That the temptation to despair before the earthquakes of life give way to praise and promise. And though, yes, seeing our fearful world as it really is, we hear the news of Jesus's birth not as some contradiction, but as a reconciliation. This is the announcement of the church all over the world this night. The same as to the shepherds. By this child, heaven and earth are brought together, and we are pulled into that intersection. So fear not, and may the glory of the Lord shine round about us.